Welcome. Welcome. Welcome to the Tonight Show. Here's what people were talking about. You've seen the dress. Is it gold and white? Is it black and blue? No one seems to know. But everyone seems to have paid a lot of attention to it in the last week. Particularly those who study how you see things and how differently you perceive things. Well, we've got a passage this morning that probably we will see differently, each one of us. Nobody understands what happened at the Transfiguration, so if you don't understand it, you're in good company. This passage comes in the middle of the Gospel according to Mark. And the thing that's different about Mark's Gospel is it's the only one that in the very beginning, in the first chapter, first few verses, it announces this is the Gospel of Jesus Christ. None of the other Gospels talk about that. But Mark says this is the good news of Jesus, the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah. And so it is. Now, how we see that differs. I recall a while back, and my long-term memory is probably better than my short-term memory. I was hosting a group of young Confirmation of Christian Doctrine youth from the local Roman Catholic Church, trying to explain what a Presbyterian church was. And when it came to the question time, one of these young Catholic people looked at the cross and said, "I've got a question. In our church, on the cross is Jesus. But when I come into this church, the cross is empty. Jesus isn't there. What does that mean?" And much as I did today, 10 minutes before the service, when I learned that I was going to preach, I dug deep into my studies and didn't have much and prayed for an answer. And this is what I came up with, and I actually think it was pretty good. I said, if we are making a movie of the life of Jesus Christ, it's any still shot taken out of that movie is something that happened, and you can pick and choose. And it so happens that the Roman Catholic Church chose to focus on the passion of Jesus on the cross. And that's why Jesus is there suffering. And the Presbyterian Church chooses to focus on the resurrection. And so the cross is empty because the Lord has been raised from the dead. And I like that answer, and we see things differently. And how we see them depends on what we understand. We will come away from this time dealing with the Transfiguration with a variety of different impressions. If indeed this whole gospel is about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus Christ, then we've got to look at things as a movie, the whole thing. Mark pretty much eliminates the resurrection. There's not much in the original gospel of Mark about the life of Jesus on earth and the time after he was raised from the dead. It kind of stops with the passion narrative and the death on the cross. But to get the whole picture, we need to put it all together. It so happens that this is a subject that I've been dealing with in the last part of my life. That I have misunderstood the scriptures for all of these years. What I have been taught and what I have dealt with is only one way of looking at the good news. And I was challenged to think in terms of the good news not ending with the death and the suffering, but including the resurrection. The total picture is Jesus Christ suffered, crucified, dead, buried, raised from the dead. And leave out any one part, you leave out a big part of the story. So back to the Transfiguration. Jesus called the inner circle, Peter, James, and John, to go with him up a mountain to have a retreat. And when they got there, somehow, and the disciples did recognize these long deceased people, Moses and Elijah, somehow they knew who they were. And Jesus changed in appearance to kind of a glowing, bright, white light. And the law of Moses, the prophetic work of Elijah, and the salvation that came through Jesus, the Messiah, all work together. Can't have one without the other. The Transfiguration is in the middle of Mark's Gospel. The first section of the Gospel, first half of the Gospel, is proclaiming Jesus as one who has authority over illness, the healing, over discussion and debate, the argument with the Pharisees and with the Sadducees, as well as the scribes, power over even the natural elements, the sea, that Jesus had authority over all creation. And then it kind of changes direction, beginning with the Transfiguration, and we move into the second half of the Gospel, where at least three times Jesus tells his disciples that he is the Messiah, and he must suffer, and that he must die, and that he must be raised from the dead. And in spite of the fact that the disciples didn't understand that and even protested, Peter said, "No, no, Lord, you don't have it right. A Savior doesn't die. A Savior conquers. A Savior brings about, this is what we had hoped for." Jesus said, "No, it's about my suffering, my death, and my resurrection." And this sums up the law, the prophets, and Jesus Christ, our Savior. God affirmed that to the inner circle and said, "He is my Son, my beloved Son. Listen to him. Listen to him." And that's what we do by coming to church on a regular basis. Listen to him. Now, my long-term memory is still there. They're around the beginning of the 20th century. I wasn't there. But somewhere where Brian, or in Cambridge, Ohio, or somewhere near Dave in Cincinnati, Ohio, there was a transatlantic steam engine go from the east to the west. And rather than waste time stopping and filling up the water, somebody devised a technique of a long trough of water next to the tracks. Wouldn't work in Boston, but a long trough of water next to the tracks and a scoop. And the train wouldn't have to slow down, but would scoop up that water on the run. Well, some people think that church is kind of like that. Go occasionally, scoop up a little good news, and then forget it. Wrong. It is the enduring, continual worship which gives glory to our God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.